Noah Falk has been published in online journals, print anthologies, and in his own chapbooks. His new book, Snowman Losing Weight, is Falk's first hardbound collection of poems. Recently, he sat down with our own Conrad Balliet to discuss poetry.
I have a guest today. His name is Noah Falk. Hi, Noah.
Hello, Conrad. How you doing?
Okay. And where are you from?
I'm originally from Dayton, the Oakwood suburb of Dayton. So I'm right around the Dayton area, yeah.
Originally. I mean, born and reared here.
I am born and raised.
Native Ohio boy.
I am a Daytonian through the heart. You got it.
Okay. And you're also a poet.
I would consider myself, yeah. I like to play with words.
And you don't mind saying you are a poet?
Actually, no, I don't. It took me a while to actually feel like that I was a poet. So it was strange. It took some time. I was a jock in high school, so that kind of didn't necessarily play well to the poetry world inside me. But it bloomed eventually.
And what does the word poet mean? How would you define poet?
I think a poet is someone who has a great sensibility of language, and appreciates it for what it can do to the inner part of you.
What would you like your poetry to do? Do you have any aims for it?
Sure. I think the poems that have inspired me are the poems that kind of outgrow the poet themselves and become their own. The poem itself is kind of its own entity. So I always want my poems to kind of outgrow me as a poet. I want people to think of just a great poem. Wow, that was a great poem. Good poems can do that. You don't really necessarily need to think of, oh, that's a Donald Justice poem or a Wallace Stevens poem. It's just a great poem.
Who are the poets who have influenced you?
I just named two of them. I'm infatuated with Donald Justice. I have been for several years. I'm also into Wallace Stevens. I'm into Peter Gizzi, William Carlos Williams. I consider kind of a godfather. Uh-huh. Charles Simic, James Tate, Kenneth Koch. I'm really into contemporary poetry. I like Zachary Schomburg. I like Matthias Svalina. And there's a lot of great, great poets in Cincinnati. One of my favorite poets is Matt Hart. He's actually going to be reading with me Sunday evening.
Huh.
And there's some other, terrific poets like Nick Stern out of Akron. Matt McBride is also out of Cincinnati. So there's a lot of just brimming worlds of poetry around here in the Ohio area, which is kind of exciting to think about.
And do you publish your poetry?
I do publish my poetry. I send it out to, at times. I mean, there was a moment where I was hesitant to send my work anywhere because I never thought it was worthy of someone else's eyes. But I've got beyond that and started, editing vigorously and finding this could possibly show up in a journal somewhere. So, yeah.
And you've been successful.
I would like to think I have.
Where have some appeared?
I've had some in the Kenyon Review. I've had some forthcoming in the Boston Review. I've had some in a great journal down in Cincinnati called Forklift Ohio. And a lot of the online contemporary journals, Hangman. There's a journal called Sentence, Journal of Prose Poetics.
Sounds very good. Well, we've been talking about it. I'd like to hear some.
Sure. This one's called The Edges of a Simple Scene. And then there came a guilty man with a tribal tattoo and a car running out of breath in the alley. And his cell phone rang as he tugged up his pants and the static of a baby crying blew from the back seat. And a car running out of breath, and he stormed into the house like brush fire, like a wild animal trapped in a sunset, and curse words were more than mechanical. And onto the back porch came the guilty man grasping a woman by the weight of her hair. And their lips whipped loud distances, and the static of the baby swelled with corruption. And a pack of neighborhood dogs sang electric as the woman kicked the guilty man in the groin, and to the ground he fell. And four trigger clicks later, there was silence.
That was one of your best readings.
Oh, thank you.
Very good, Noah, very
Thanks
good.
Thanks a lot.
And where did this poem come from? Is there any event behind it, or is it just sheer imagination?
Sure. It's kind of a combination of both. I lived in a part of Dayton called Walnut Hills over on Illinois Avenue, and I lived next to this vacant house for a while, and there was people in it who shouldn't have been in it. It was supposed to be a vacant house, and there was a lot of strange happenings, and one day I was sitting there and listening to whatever was going on in that house, and I was thinking, this is this is kind of bizarre. What is happening over there? So things, I started getting these images in my head. So it's kind of a combination of things that could happen and the imagination. So.
And some things that did happen?
There wasn't any click triggers, but there were some violent noises and, you know, so.
Well, that was good. Let's try another one.
Sure. Let's go ahead and try one called Hawthorne Hill. This one's actually based off of the Wright brothers' home, which is in Oakwood. And I used to, when I was growing up, we used to go sledding over there, which is no longer permitted, but a nice hill over there. On snowy afternoons, children bleed through noses, but are happy as long as the flakes continue. The flakes continue. They interrupt each other like on-off switches. There's a father in a station wagon at the bottom of the hill, snoring. The steepest part of the hill makes walking inventive. The snow melts on the soles of puffy moon boots, on chubby cherry red cheeks. "I'll race you to the street," a tiny boy yells. A dog's ears flutter at the meshing of high-pitched voices. Snowballs fall 15 feet short. More children arrive, layered like coffee cake, and behind a window in a house across the street, someone's grandmother stares out at the merging plastic sleds. She grins as she remembers her first bloody nose, and afterwards clumping home through the snow with a sticky, red-toothed smile.
Now, this poem, as I look at it on the page, it looks like a paragraph.
Yes.
How do you decide whether to make something look like a poem or look like a paragraph?
That's a really good question. This could actually be broken down into stanzas or broken into lines, but for some reason I went on a streak of about a year of just trying to crank out prose poems or paragraph poems, block poems, and it kind of it takes away from the worry of where do I break it, where do I cut it, you know?
Okay. And you said crank out. Does that mean this just sort of you have a little crank inside
and
you turn it and these come out?
That's exactly what it is.
Do you spend any time revising or is it just the way it comes out?
Oh, no. I spend quite a bit of time revising. I think that I'm definitely not of the Allen Ginsberg school of best thought. I'm more of a, look at it, put it in a drawer, come back to it a week later, look at it again, take out, add in, you know, it's kind of a constant. I don't think I've ever written a poem in one sitting and felt comfortable with it. So.
Well, that sounds like a real poet.
Yeah.
Okay, Noah, one more?
Yeah, let's do one more. This one is actually called The Measuring Tape for the Midwest, and this is the title poem for my second chapbook, and it's also in my new book, Snowman Losing Weight. Put out by Batcat Press, which is actually an all-student-run press in Midland, Pennsylvania. Okay, let's do The Measuring Tape for the Midwest. The measuring tape for the Midwest extends beyond the five flavors of boredom and further than the dimple-smeared children circling the food court could ever imagine. It cuts through the town where the pop top was invented, the town of the backpack vacuum cleaner, the first electric street light, and along the traffic aisle, where the three-legged stray dog everyone feeds but refuses to pet shivers before stumbling out into the distance, where several new roads emerge beneath a caution light blinking above teenagers who suck face and viciously exchange bubblegum and mononucleosis as shadows of fertilized corn husks sway like children on roller skates. It stretches into these remote zip codes you've always wondered about, where your dreams take place, where a single tree silhouetting the horizon is not quite ready for rain, where every August there is a sunset that bleeds into September. It bumps down dirt roads and amplifies the people from one-light towns and people hugging in small groups, their colorful fanny packs overlapping in smoke-groomed bowling alleys where everything swallows like cigarette ash, and sunburn appears unexpectedly like a sixth child and unfolds near funny red-lipped people drinking to get drunk because not everything needs an answer, because breathing only stops after another double bacon cheeseburger and continues down alleyways and crosswalks through toll booths and potholes near chain-link fenced-in yards which hold children in plastic and innocence with storms on the horizon and horizons on the storm. The sounds like unhung paintings left in the closet, like snow-filled landscapes and whispers and far-out lawns where people are being born and people are dying and people are laughing out loud and scaring hiccups out of their bodies beneath sudden gushes of acid rain.
Wow. That was very different and very vivid.
Thanks.
I think, Noah, you have a good variety of good-sounding poems.
Thanks a lot, Conrad. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
I appreciate it. It was very fun. Anytime.
Noah Falk.
The release party for Falk's book, Snowman Losing Weight, takes place tonight at Canal Street Tavern in Dayton. Also appearing, poets Matt Hart and Nick Sturm, and music from King Elk, the Judy Blumes, Henry Daggs, and Speaking Sons. This is WISO Weekend.